how to overcome the sin within. That's the biggest problem for every individual. And then when it gets to a family, then when it gets to a community, then when it gets to a nation, then when it gets to the world. It all boils down to the individual. And so in every way that you look at what is happening in the world, think about the whole world now. Everywhere. There's misery. There's upset. There's war. There's famine. There's pestilence. Now, we're getting closer and closer and closer to it. And I believe the only reason it hasn't hit full blast here yet is because the United States of America is the only place in the world, whether for contention or whether in truth, where the gospel is preached and the name of Christ is named. Only place in the world. You look around the world, ask the question, where's the gospel being preached? Only in America. Now, there may be a little isolated place over here, a little isolated place over there. So what we're essentially dealing with in all of this is that people have gotten rid of God. And I covered that in the letter we just mailed out. And everyone's anxious with the election. Well, what do you think of the election? Well, I think Dolores had it exactly right. We got the one we deserve because of our sins. Yet at the same time, let's start off here in Proverbs 21 and verse 2 so we can understand about the sin within. Because it's the imagination of man that is the problem. Whether rich or poor, educated or uneducated, or like Paul has written, whether barbarian or Scythian or whatever, you see, Jew or Gentile. Verse 2 applies. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Now, God is capable of judging everyone's heart simultaneously at the same time because he's given the spirit of man to each man, and he knows the thoughts of man, that they are vain. Now, let's come back here to the book of 2 Kings. No, book of Judges. Last verse in the book of Judges. This happens over and over again. I know we were discussing, we've asked the question over again, why do these things keep happening down through history? And like with America, why do we always seem to be at war? I mean, stop and think for a minute. Any country in the world, ask the question, when was there a time they had no war? Never. Never. Okay? Last verse, book of Judges, Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what human beings do. That's what we were talking about here beforehand, wasn't it? Yeah. And what was it in the days of Noah? Well, let's come back to Genesis 6. Let's review that. Let's see what's going on, and also we will add to it all the modern things that we have that affect the mind. Now, I saw a very interesting little special on, I think it was Nat Geo. And sometimes you think about, well, what would it be like just to be alone somewhere and no one around? Okay. So there's this island in the Gulf of Alaska called Middleton Island. It's 4 miles long. At the widest point, it's 1 mile wide. It's virtually a barren island. There are a few little mounds on it, and there's some grass, and the birds and seals and all of that stuff get there. And there's one man and his wife. They live there. And they do special reporting. And he enjoys going out, walking on the island. Of course, when the wind isn't blowing, when the storms aren't going and everything, you see. And when you get to the sea, it's very relaxing, isn't it? Well, that's because of all of the ions that the body needs and so forth. That's why it's that way. And so he's lived there for a good number of years. And here comes the junk from the tsunami. And so they get junk washing up there. And they found a little soccer ball. And that little soccer ball had some writing on it. So they took a picture of the writing, sent it back to Japan to see if they could locate this person, because the man who is running that station, he's married to a Japanese woman. So she was able to read the Japanese writing, and that's what they took a picture of off the soccer ball and sent back to Japan. And so they finally located the boy. It was his soccer ball, okay? And I was thinking with that, here you are, all alone, and you can't get away from the problems of the world today. You know, you got a mountaintop you want to go to? Oop, don't go in a cave, you might have an earthquake and you're mincemeat. You know? Hey, you want an island out in the middle of the sea? Well, there may be a tsunami to take care of you. Okay? And all of these things, you add all of this together and it gets down to what we just read. Everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes. Now, Genesis, the sixth chapter. And as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, we've reached the same thing, haven't we? And when you're coming to the knowledge of the truth, you begin to really be shocked as to what sin is. Now, a lot of people like to nibble around the edges and change a little behavior outside. But what God wants is the change inside, okay? So right there, verse 5 defines man's heart. Always, always. Now, we won't go through the rest of it, save that God had to destroy all human life and all other life. And there was no reason to destroy all other life unless it was because of transhumanism and cross genetics, as I brought out in several sermons and many church at home. Okay? Now let's see one other thing that God has set before us so that we are all accountable. Let's come to Deuteronomy 30. Every single human being on earth is accountable to God, whether for good, whether for bad. Whether they know God or whether they don't know God. Now, God made some promises here. Here's what everyone wants. Deuteronomy 30. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do good and multiply you above your fathers. Now, remember, he promised. Now, when God promises, and it's a unilateral promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is what frustrates the nations of the world concerning the modern descendants of Israel as well. That they have been blessed with so much riches and so much territory and such good land and all of this. And look at what sinners they are. And here we are where we are. And we're trying to even do better than they do. And yet we can't get ahead or any of that because of the blessing of God. So this is why punishment is coming. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. That is, if you follow God. And the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your enemies, upon those that hate you and persecute you. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord your God and do all of his commandments which I command you today. And the Lord will make you abundantly prosperous in every work of your hand. Now think about that. Just stop and think about all the things that you have. All the gadgets, all the things. And today people think they're smart and important because they have a smartphone. They've got access to everything right online and their vocabulary is been accepted and reduced down to Twitter and Facebook. And they think magically that they're educated. Okay? Think of it. All the stuff that you have, okay? Prosperous in every work of your hand, and the fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your land for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. And that is if, verse 10, there's the word right there. Here is the whole test for every human being. Now, even those who don't have the word of God in the past, but today the world is filled with the word of God. If you have a smartphone, you can have the whole Bible there and you can push the button. You can have what? How many other translations you want? Okay? You want to hear someone preach? You got the whole spectrum of everything, right? Far different from living on an island 4 miles long and 1 mile wide, and you're there by yourself, and your greatest conversation is with your wife or your husband or the seagulls. See? That's true. Okay? There it is, verse 10. If, and this is what human nature doesn't want to do, and this is why there is the sin within, and we're specifically going to talk about strongholds, the strongholds in the mind. And the strongholds in the mind have different sources, but it is basically a choice. So verse 10, here's the comparison. If you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. See, that's why God had everything written down. Old Testament and New Testament, because you could never depend on the lying nature of human beings to keep it straight. So God specifically had certain men write it and made sure it was written correctly so that no one could say, Lord, why didn't you tell me? That's why I think all the modern devices are here. And I think all the people, I think nearly everyone in the world is going to have a modern device where they can have it in their hands, so they are going to have a personal warning when these events take place. No one is going to be without warning, okay? That's a little sidebar, so let's go ahead here. Now notice the second if. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, because that's the key of overcoming the sin within. Nothing else is going to do it. The law of God, the Spirit of God, and your choice. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven for us and bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it? Well, wouldn't that be something if God said, okay, if you can come up on the moon, and on the backside, in this crater, I've hidden my law. No, he's made it available, especially for today. Now, I've just finished reading all the Psalms and recorded it and finished Matthew and Mark, and I'm into Luke. I don't know how quickly I can get it down or how long it will take to get the New Testament done. But in reading the Psalms and in reading every one of them, I'm absolutely amazed how much of the Bible is for the last days. You look at some of those psalms that are excoriating against the enemy, that they shall be burned and melted. And I thought, when is the only time that's really going to happen? Like a fire. So even us, when we're reading the Bible and studying the Bible, you better think big and expand out. See, because it's all pertinent to us today. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who should go over the sea for us to bring it to us so that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart so that you may do it. Now that's God's way of saying it will be in a language you know. Because that's what's in your mind, isn't it? A language you have learned, taught? Yes. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God. That is the key. As I pointed out, the key in overcoming is loving God and God loving you and you going God's way. See, God is God. Now, scrap everything having to do with the religion, see, because a religion is a substitute of man inspired by Satan the devil, so that you can have an excuse to continue being against God, but modify your way just enough so you're a nicer person in the world. Okay? That's what religion is. And you conform to the religion. So a lot of people coming out of a religion think that God's way is a religion. It's not a religion. It is a way of life. And that's the only true way out of all of this. The way you can help them, see? And the truth is, you can't help anyone overcome a problem unless they do it God's way. That's it. Because God is God. Now, are we going to stand and argue with God? Well, some people do. Yeah. Now, here's for every human being, verse 15. Behold, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, not yours, to keep his commandments, not yours, and his statutes, not yours, and his judgments, not yours, so that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. See, now everything there from verse 10 to verse 15 is predicated on if. And all ifs are predicated on free will. And free will choice that God has given, God does not take away. He expects you to choose. So then he says here, verse 17, but if your heart turn away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. Now, any day you reject God, that's your fate. Now, you can repent. God always honors repentance. And the only sin that is unforgivable is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which God the Father has sent. That is the only unforgivable sin. Everything else can be forgiven. I denounce to you this day, you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you go, where you pass over Jordan to go and to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. And every time you read that, how many times does God say heaven and earth? Many times. What did Jesus say? He said, heaven and earth may perish, but my word shall never perish. Whoa. See? That's what people need to think about. That's why religion is so damnable. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life if you choose evil. And look what we have. We've just reached the tipping point and we're on the downside of evil. And once that happens, rarely has there ever been a turnaround. That you may love the Lord your God and obey his voice and may cleave to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, so that you may dwell on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them. Okay. Now, let's look at the sin within. Let's look at the world the way it is today. First of all, let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. Now, we know other scriptures, don't we? Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's also Proverbs 16:25, Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in him. It's not. See, speaking of counseling again, secular counselors can never solve the problems of human beings in counseling, because the first thing they tell them is, you're good. So therefore, they do not recognize the sin within. The first lie. Mm-hmm. And then they point to the scripture, well, everything that God made, behold, it was good, very good. Aha, but that was before sin. See? Sin changes the whole equation. All right? Now, let's also review. The carnal mind, Romans 8, 7, is not subject to the law of God. See? It is enmity against God and not subject to the law of God. And that is exemplified most quickly and readily with the fourth commandment. Just like Ernest asks all of his patients that he takes down for all their medical things. And of course, the reason why they're so sick in most cases is because the sins they've had in their lives. Mm-hmm. See? So they're religious. There are a lot of people that are religious, a lot of them. And they're all Sunday keepers. But he asked them, well, what does the Bible say which day to worship? Oh, that's Saturday. Yeah, but we go to church on Sunday, all right? That is the carnal mind, hostile, enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So there has to be a change, all right? What did Paul say about his own human nature? Because we're talking about the sin within. He said, I find a law within my members. In other words, part of your chromosomes, your nature, see, that we inherit from all going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Everybody has it. People who have not done horrendous crimes say, well, I'm good by comparison. But if you had had hatred, jealousy, lust, greed, envy, and where did those take place? In here, in your mind. That's what God wants changed, okay? You can have good behavior out here. I mean, even con men know how to lie to sound sincere and know they're going to off-sconce with everything they can from you, but you trust them, see, because of greed. Their greed and your greed and lust all combined together. All right. Now, verse 1, Ephesians 2. Yes. Yes, good comment. Relativism. You compare yourself with other people, and you leave out God to start with, so you don't have a good basis for any comparison at all. You better start with God in His way, and then compare yourself with that, not other people. Because, as we'll see a little later, the Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Exactly. Lo and behold, church is a God. You better listen to that. Don't come and say how good we are and bring in the ways of men and say that you're duty-bound, you cause the brethren duty-bound to obey those things. And if you don't know what you have done and if you don't know what they are, then you might give me a phone call. I will be very happy to help you. Verse 1. Now, you were dead in sins and trespasses. Now, think of that statement again. Paul said that in his members he found a law that he defined under the inspiration of God as the law of sin and death. All right? At what point in life can a human being die? No, I'm not talking about baptism. No, we haven't even gotten that far yet. Okay? At any point from conception, right? After they're born, how long can they live? Well, that depends on how their mother took care of them, okay? Before they were born, took care of her body. That depends on her behavior. Was she with many men, or was she a virgin? You notice, God did not choose Rahab the harlot to have Christ, okay? He did not, all right? Now, this helps answer the question. You remember the statement where when Jesus told the man, he said, well, I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you go, but first let me go bury my father. Now, what did he say? Let the dead bury their dead. Why? Because every human being walking in the flesh alive is only temporary life, and the sentence of death is in them genetically, and there is nothing you can do through any philosophy, through any behavioral change to change that. So sure is death that even all of those that God has called, and up to this point, every faithful Christian has died. Correct? All right. So this helps answer the question, why then does God bring all kinds of floods and war and disaster and killing of children and babies and everything? Why doesn't God stop that? Why does he allow it? Well, because they're all as good as dead. And because God is greater than your narrow-minded little thoughts of hatred to God. That if God is a God of love and he caused that to happen, what is he going to do about it? And see, people have no understanding of the second resurrection. Now, when they're resurrected, they're going to know that they died. They're going to be given an opportunity for salvation without Satan, the devil, around. Now, is that not much better than the pitiful lives that they would have continued living at the point that they died? I mean, look at the things that have been done, the massacres. Everybody says, well, look at how many Hitler killed. Well, let's try Stalin. Okay? Let's try Mao Tse-tung. Okay? Let's try any country, civilization, down through history. Has that not happened? Yes, indeed. Okay? Okay. Now notice, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Now notice what he says the next verse, because this is very interesting. In which you walked, showing that you were alive, but the things you were walking in. Now some of them may have been some of the commandments of God. But did God say, blessed are you if you keep some of my commandments? Well, now God does give some blessings for those who do not know if they keep some of his commandments. But did that do away with the law of sin and death within you? Did that change your status spiritually before God? No. Okay? See, everybody likes to look to the Constitution. All right? Congress shall make no law as to the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof, after they've given freedom of speech. All right. Everybody looks at that and says, that's wonderful. That is far better than any other constitution in the world. But that has the seeds of its own destruction sown within it. See? Because you're going to see it now. Any religion must be tolerated, and freedom of worship granted to it. And now the coup de grace, where you thought, oh, this is really a great God-given, divine-inspired document. It was inspired of God to separate Manasseh from Ephraim, true. It has many good biblical principles in it, true. But the seeds of its own destruction, just like every other human endeavor, are sown in it. And that is going to come when the Supreme Court, and it's on its way up the roll, has to determine, is it lawful to allow Sharia law or not? See, God looks at the whole span of things. The way we look at things is this. We look at right what's in front of us. Maybe we look to the right a little bit, look to the left a little bit. Maybe we look back a little bit, but we don't see the big overall plan of God because we don't know God and don't know the Word of God in the main. So how can they know? And they go to a church that is called Christian, and all they hear are banging of drums and shouting and leaping and singing of hymns and songs. They have 45 minutes of singing, 15 minutes of a scriptural reference, 20 minutes of lovey-dovey stories of how great everything is, and then clappy-clappy, give your heart to the Lord. Everything is over. You're now right on the way to eternal life. Total deception. Okay? Walked them in times past, according to the course of this world. So you've got the effect of the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan the devil. And almost all the sins that come into people's lives today come how? Through modern technology, through the air. Is that true? Yeah. Yes, you haven't had your fix on porn today? Oop! Pop up your handphone. There you go. You haven't had your fix on pedophile today? Whoop! Pop up the website. You haven't had your fix on gambling? Do it online. Right there on your cell phone. Ooh, that's great. Appeal to your greed. Maybe you'll win $10,000, but maybe you'll lose $20,000 before you win the $10,000. Okay. See? According to the Prince of Power of the Air, that spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience, those who go against the laws of God. You can't have disobedience without laws demanding obedience, can you? Think of it. See? And now when those who counsel people, and we'll talk about things, drugs and things here in just a little bit, but what they want an excuse as to why they have what they have so they can blame someone else. Now, maybe they can overcome for a while. Maybe they can permanently stop their drugs. But they haven't had their minds changed. They've only adjusted their thinking a little bit. Conversion, what God wants, is a complete change. All right? Now, notice how this comes about. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh. All right? Anything to do with the flesh, from bodybuilding to sex activity, from glamorous women to the uglies. But isn't it true? Women are so envious and jealous and it's something. All of the good-looking women all get together. And, oh, they're so lovey-dovey with each other. But the ones who are not so good-looking, you know, they're left out. And they can never break into the circle of the lovey-dovey beauties. See? And they get jealous. And the other ones, the lovey-dovey beauties say, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that woman over there. Boy, look at that. Because, see, a woman can look at another woman and know in one glance how her hair is, what kind of makeup she uses, her bodily measurements and general description, you know, how her clothes are, how long or short her skirt is, what kind of shoes she has on, and in 10 seconds she is all sized up and judged and filed away in that woman's mind. Now, men do the same thing in different ways, okay? Exactly. Lust of her flesh. Here comes a woman. What did Jesus say? The one who looks after her to lust after her, and this woman comes along with all of the neon flashing signs, I want you to lust after me. Look at me, I'm beautiful. You know, all this sort of thing. So all the men go, oogle, 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 see? Okay?
They're gone already.
Yes, they've had it. Okay. Okay, but now what we're dealing with is that it is multiplying. Lawlessness shall be multiplied. So the love of many shall grow cold. So the way you overcome that is with the love of God. See? All right, let's go on. Doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind. Oh, yes, let's think how great we are. Let's improve our minds. Yes, indeed. Are you still sinful? Never thought of that. Okay. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break here.